In the first century, people came together to worship God. People gathered in the synagogue to hear the ancient texts, to pray, to listen, to learn. Some of those who listened were hungry to hear the stories of the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. Hungry people in a hungry world. They heard the many names given to Jesus. The light of the world, the good shepherd, the living water, the true vine, the bread of life, the word made flesh. All those names, all those images connected Jesus to the ones listening. They connected Jesus to the hungry. Today, in the 21st century, people come together to worship God. We gather here to hear ancient texts, to pray, to listen, to learn. We are hungry to hear the stories of the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. And all those stories, all those images connect us to Jesus, who he was and how he was, what he taught and why it all mattered. We hear Jesus is the living bread given for the world to eat. And we ask the same question. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? How is it possible that God, the creator of all that is, the creator of the universe, dwells among us? If we are hungry, give us true bread. Just exactly how do you feel about a fleshy Jesus? A human Jesus, a man of flesh and bones, real and living, not a spirit, not a ghost, not some cosmic being, but a real, live, walking around, eating, drinking person. And then how do you feel about the invitation to consume a fleshy God? How radical then, and probably more so for us today. And our usual response to these kinds of questions is to get caught up in them, right? To take it apart, to analyze it, to dissect it, to look at it from all sides. What is flesh? What is spirit? What is bread and body and blood? What does it all mean? What does it represent? It's easy to get stuck in the definitions, the explanations, the semantics, the theology. Great esoteric exercises on the humanity of Jesus and the divinity of Christ. But does any of that lead to any greater understanding? Any deeper ministry? Any fuller awareness of God around us? Or is it just an end unto itself? Are these just more mental gymnastics that in the end leave us hungry? How is it possible that Jesus feeds me with his very body? What is this incredible claim? All summer long, we have heard how Jesus feeds his disciples. Feeds the crowds gathered with food and word, with presence and healing, with teaching and tolerance. We've heard the Bible stories from both Hebrew Scripture and the New Testament about bread and food, feeding, and the abundance of God to feed God's people. As a Eucharistic people, a people who find solace and strength comfort and renewal in communion. Those words, flesh, body, blood, are familiar, right? We say them every week. But after all, we are rational, enlightened, privileged people who, for us, hunger is only an occasional inconvenience, like a skipped breakfast or a lunch in the hurriedness of our day. Certainly not a way of life. So we embrace the metaphor, Christ as bread, over and done. But perhaps in that, we neglect our own spiritual hunger. If long ago we made peace with bread and wine equals body and blood, what is the cost to us? Have in that we lost a deeper connection to the holy? Is our relationship with God, with the fleshy Jesus, so sanitized, so removed, so rational, so one-dimensional, so intellectualized, that there is no emotion, no feeling, no challenge, no real food? Our own squeamishness over this fleshy encounter with Jesus may cause us to miss the invitation to feast on God, to overlook the gift we have been given. We may neglect to take into ourselves that which we are, because to consume Christ means acknowledging our own needs, our hunger and desire for God. We are hungry, and an engagement with the holy will require us to avoid the standard intellectual concepts. It's not a very enticing tagline for a church. Flesh, it's real and messy, but it nourishes. You guys are going to be signing up for that bumper sticker? No, probably not. The body of Christ is not just a concept. It's not just a metaphor. It's life. It's alive. It's living. And by extension, then each of us is living bread. Living bread created by God and given for the life of this world. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the flesh. For the hungry. At this table, at each Eucharist, we serve up a helping of bread as a reminder of the sacrifice and a foretaste of the banquet to come. But it also is not an end unto itself. The Eucharist points us toward a greater participation in our world, an acceptance and acknowledgement of God's love for us and in us. Our experience of the Eucharistic meal keeps us linked, holds us close to the three-dimensional, alive, living, breathing, fleshy Jesus. Behold what you are, become what you see. Those very fleshy words are traced all the way back to St. Augustine, who sometime in the 4th or 5th centuries, preached a sermon on the Eucharist in which he reflected on one of the deep truths of Christian faith. In our participation in the sacraments, we are transformed into the body of Christ, given for the world. We become flesh and food. The words of the gospel bring both challenge and comfort in a hungry world. The more Jesus we consume, the less time, energy, and space there is to consume all that is not healing. The more we feast on the fleshiness of Christ, the more we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. So our flesh is available for others, real food in a starving world. Living bread, the flesh of God that feeds, that promotes peace and justice, mercy, kindness, compassion. Flesh that promises a forever life. We come together to worship God. We gather here to hear ancient texts, to pray, to listen, to learn. We hear the stories of the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, who feeds the world with his flesh. And we acknowledge our hunger and the hunger of the world. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word became flesh so that we might become Word. In a hungry world, we are fed so that we might feed. In a hungry world, we feed so that we might be fed. In this way, there is no end, there is no beginning, just a very circular, very eternal loop of love. Amen.